Welcome to Vet Candy News, brought to you by Vet Candy's new scripted dramatic series, Zombie Invasion. Learn how to survive the end of this world with our free race-approved continuing education course for veterinarians and veterinary technicians. Check it out at myvetcandy.com and see why everyone's talking about the zombie invasion. Here is our top story. The recent emergence of avian influenza among dairy cattle in the United States has stirred significant concern within the veterinary community. Even seasoned experts, who have diligently monitored the global progression of the virus, find themselves facing a multitude of uncertainties. Veterinary epidemiologist Dr. Maurice Potesky, an associate professor at UC Davis School of Veterinary Medicine, highlights the seriousness of the situation.
When we're thinking about availability and access to eggs and chicken and turkey meat, avian influenza can have a significant impact. Unfortunately, the virus is, as the name highly pathogenic implies, causes a significant amount of disease in chickens and turkeys. And that means those birds get very sick and oftentimes die. So from a food security perspective and access to food when you have infected birds, that's that much less turkey, chicken meat, and egg protein that we have access to as the food from those birds is no longer basically consumable.
As the outbreak unfolds, many questions arise regarding the prevalence of the virus in dairy cattle and its potential implications for animal health. Originating from the H5N1 bird flu strain, which first appeared among North American wild migratory birds in late 2021, the virus has now infiltrated poultry farms and, alarmingly, dairy cows.
Yeah, so the recent discovery that highly pathogenic avian influenza is actually in dairy cows, I think that's something that we're still trying to understand from a disease perspective and also from an economic perspective. But kind of the initial analysis suggests that infected dairy cows, for example, will produce about 20% less milk. So that's an economic impact that farmers and ultimately consumers will probably have to bear. It's a result that as the virus continues to spread among avian and mammalian populations, there's the potential that it can affect all kinds of livestock, not just poultry and dairy cows, but even potentially other mammalian species that we consume.
Potesky emphasizes the unprecedented nature of the current circumstances.
So when it comes to kind of human exposure to avian influenza, this virus, for the most part, doesn't seem to be a huge risk to humans for various reasons. One of them is that we pasteurize our milk and the process of pasteurization inactivates any virus that may be in there. Same thing with cooking and things like that. Even with those kind of protections, this version of the virus does not seem to be highly infectious to humans. So there have been a few workers in the poultry and dairy industry that have been affected over the last couple of years. But for the most part, this virus seems to, at the current point, primarily be most sensitive to avian commercial and domestic avian populations.
While authorities stress that the public risk remains low, the evolving nature of the outbreak demands vigilant observation. Here's a synopsis of what veterinarians need to know. Genetic analysis of the virus sampled from infected dairy cattle has yet to uncover any significant mutations. While some minor alterations have been detected, there is currently no indication of heightened danger. Instances of human-to-human transmission of avian influenza remain exceedingly rare. While the virus has been detected in a handful of humans globally, documented cases of human-to-human transmission are absent. Scientists are investigating the extent to which the virus spreads among dairy cattle. Although cases have surfaced in multiple states, the severity of infections in cattle varies. While cows have been infected, widespread fatalities have not occurred, and the commercial milk supply remains unaffected due to pasteurization. The sustained spread of avian influenza among mammals raises concerns about potential mutations that could heighten risks to animals. While the virus's ability to infect animals remains limited, continuous surveillance is crucial to detect any alarming developments.
So when it comes to protecting flocks, commercial farms in general, not all of them, but in general, most of the large commercial flocks are raised indoors. And the reason they're raised indoors is to protect them from any infectious diseases like highly pathogenic avian influenza that are carried by wild waterfowl like ducks and geese. So those physical barriers are one of the kind of more essential essential protections that the commercial poultry industry uses to protect the birds from infectious disease, including avian influenza. The reality, unfortunately, is that virus can move in all kinds of ways, rodents and aerosols. So even with all this physical protections and all the biosecurity kind of tools that these farms use, some of the farms still end up having outbreaks of disease on them.
As the situation continues to evolve, collaboration among veterinarians, public health officials, and the agricultural sector remains essential in mitigating risks associated with avian influenza outbreaks.
When it comes to surveillance, there's a couple different approaches that are used. So the USDA, the United States Department of Agriculture, does surveillance of wild waterfowl. Some of these are from hunters that voluntarily allow their hunted birds to be sampled for avian influenza. And that system right now kind of catches about 25,000 wild bird samples throughout the continental US and Alaska every year. And those data then are posted on USDA's website. And then folks like myself and other researchers will utilize that data to help inform commercial poultry farmers where avian influenza is detected in these wild waterfowl, in order to inform those companies, you know, where the risk is highest. So for example, if you're a commercial poultry farmer and you have 100 farms located throughout multiple states, and you only have one or two veterinarians, that's the kind of data that you might want to utilize in order to really understand where the risk potentially is greatest.
Despite the challenges posed by the current predicament, proactive measures and ongoing research offer hope for effective containment and response strategies.
When it comes to small animal veterinarians, as I think it's been well reported, we don't have enough small animal veterinarians who focus on backyard poultry. And backyard poultry are wonderful, and it's a great opportunity for people to learn more about poultry and how food is grown. One of the challenges of backyard poultry, though, is biosecurity. So how do we better raise backyard birds in such a way where we're separating them from wildlife, which can carry all kinds of diseases, not just highly pathogenic avian influenza, but can also carry diseases like salmonella that will affect us from a food safety perspective. So small animal veterinarians, the more knowledge they can gain about backyard poultry, the better they can advise on biosecurity and management and prevention of disease exposure, which is ultimately the best tool that we have to end this avian influenza outbreak.
We'll be sure to keep you updated on this story. In the meantime, stay tuned for more news and updates here on VetCandy. Thank you for listening.